Tonight we're in Numbers chapter 34. We only got one more lesson to go, and you're holding on to that as well. So we'll do that next week, Lord willing, and then we're going to jump into something different. I'm planning on going over some geography lessons and just look at Bible geography for a few weeks. And we'll do that to just help us to be able to become more familiar with Bible geography. Okay, tonight we're in Numbers chapter 34. Numbers chapter 34. This chapter is an unusual one in the sense that it's a little bit hard to be able to, you know, we need to watch for things we can learn in it, put it that way, okay? But the map that you have at the top of your page there, if you look real closely, it was a colored map, and the colors here distinguish. All right, you got the Mediterranean Sea, that's the darkest color on the left, and then you got Israel down through the middle there, and there's a dividing line about your eye level there that's above that it's Lebanon in that area, and then you got Israel that comes down and kind of comes in a square shape. So anyway, if you look at it carefully, you can see it, but it didn't turn out as well as I wanted. Sorry about that. But it helps us to see a little bit of the boundaries of the nation. So tonight we're going to be looking at the various boundaries. And we see in verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan, with the coasts thereof." All right, so all the borders of it. Verse number 3, "Then your south quarter shall be for the from the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outermost coast of the Salt Sea eastward." All right, so when you look down at the bottom portion of your map, the straight down below the Dead Sea, if you can look real closely, you can see the Dead Sea there, and straight below that goes the line down toward Ezron Geber, which is right there at the tip of the water that's coming up from the Red Sea. It's going down toward it, and then it goes across and then over to the ocean. Okay? So that is the south border. He said that's how far they're going to go down south. Now, the southern border there is along the, there's a river that goes along there. Sometimes it's called the River of Egypt. Sometimes it's got other names to it, but it's a river that comes in from the ocean down toward that direction. Or probably goes out toward the ocean. But anyway, that's where that is. It's one of the borders, and then it goes down there and across. All right, so that helps us to see the southern border. Now, in your notes, it says this border began. That doesn't sound right. Sorry, I messed up there. It began at the bottom of the Dead Sea and went a bit to the south, and it crossed over below Kadesh. All right, so Kadesh was near the bottom there. You see that on your map. And over to the River of Egypt, and then over to the sea. Okay, so that was the southern border of Israel. All right, so it's important for us to see that. Then on the western border, verse number 6, "And as for the western border, you shall have the great sea for your border. This shall be your western border." So that one's pretty clear cut. You can't get much further out there. So that's the ocean that goes along there. The Mediterranean Sea is the western border of the whole land of Israel. And then verses 7 to 9 deal with the northern border. Now this one's a little bit harder to see here. All right, so let's just read 7 to 9, then I'll talk about that. "This shall be the north border from the great sea. Ye shall point out for you Mount Hor." All right, so this is one of the mountains that are there, and it's right near the high mountains there at the bottom of Lebanon. And so that was Mount Hor up there in the top, "and ye shall point out the border of the entrance to Hamath, and the goings forth, and the border shall be to Zedad." Right now, verse number 9 as well, "And the border shall go from go on to Ziphron, and the goings out from Hazar Eden, Enan. This shall be the north border. Now, as I searched into this, this northern border is really uncertain. Most places mentioned by Moses have not been clearly identified, so that makes it hard. If they have not identified those places clearly, there's kind of a guess. Most Bible scholars place the border just above the city of Dan. All right, so I don't know if Dan's on our map. Okay, you just got to have binoculars to see it. So, actually, the map on the other side would be easier to see it. Dan, you can see Dan real clearly on this side. So, most of them say it's just above Dan, where the northern border is. Some say that it goes further up than that. God promised to Abraham a much larger area from the river of Egypt up to the Euphrates, according to Genesis 5:18 or 15:18. Let me just read that for us. Genesis 15, verse 18. He says there, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham or Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All right, so that was a much longer border. During some of the other kings, it appears that they may have possessed a lot of that, but most of the time Israel did not. So that was the difficulty there. During David and Solomon, they did control a lot of that area, the land south down to Ezra and Geber, and then north up to the Euphrates. So that's the area that Abraham was promised by God. So it is a little difficult to determine that northern, but basically just above Dan is typically what appears to be in Scripture the northern border there. The eastern border, verses 10 to 12. And ye shall point out your eastern border from Hazar Enan, to Shepham, and from the coast shall go down to from Shepham to Ribla, and on the east to Ain, and the border shall descend and shall reach the side of the sea Kinnereth eastward. All right, now let's just stop there for a moment. You know, I've got it in our notes. If you've read ahead, you already saw that. But Kinnereth, what was Kinnereth? Kinnereth is the Sea of Galilee. All right. So that's an important thing, because sometimes you see in Scripture it talks about Kinnereth and you say, what in the world is that? But it's another word for the Sea of Galilee. So here he's saying that the border, then verse 12, the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the south Salt Sea. This shall be the land which with the coast there round about. So this was the land. You know, so they went down to the Sea of Galilee and then followed Jordan down to the Dead Sea. So that was the border of the tribes on the western side. Remember, there was two and a half tribes. Which two and a half tribes were on the eastern side? Anybody remember? Half of Manasseh.
Reuben.
Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Okay, so Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh were on the eastern side, but the rest of them were all on the western side. And he's dealing with the western side of Jordan right now, and this is the official markings. All right, so those two and a half tribes will inherit on the east. It was Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. Then, verses 16 to 29 deal with the Well, I didn't actually read those verses. Let me just read those. Verse 13 onward. Verse 13, and Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and half tribe, for the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half of the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and a half have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. All right, so those are the ones that were on the east. Now, verse 16 to 29 deals with the officials. Who is going to do all this dividing? Okay, verse number 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you. All right, now, stop and think about this. Who told Moses this? God did. All right, so God specified the specific names of the people that were going to divide the land. He said, these are the ones I want you to do it. And he said, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, they were the ones that were supposed to head it up. They were the leaders. And ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. So each tribe was to have a prince. And the names of the men are these. So God names all the princes. He doesn't let them choose this. It wasn't, you know, let's have an election and see who's the chief of our village. And God says, no, these are the ones I want. The tribe of Judah was Caleb, son of Jephunneh. All right, so he and Joshua were the only two old men. All right, everybody else was 40 years younger. And the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shemuel, the son of Ammihud. And the tribe of Benjamin was Eliadad, the son of Chislon. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan was Buckai, the son of Jogli. And the prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Hananiel, and the son of Ephod, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shephton, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan, the son of Parnach. Why am I reading these? And the prince of the children, tribe of the children of Issachar was Paltiel, and the son of the Azan, and the prince of the tribe of the sons of Asher was Ahihud, the son of Shalomi, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Padiel, the son of Hamod. Well, I got started. I figured I might. Alexander Scorby to help me. Let him read it.
When we were naming our kids, why didn't I know that Bucky was a name?
Yeah. Bucky.
They call him Beaver.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
A little bit further back, you talk about half of the tribe of Manasseh. My understanding is that Manasseh and Ephraim were half tribes because together they made the tribe of Joseph.
No. They were full tribes.
Yeah. But no, they're referred to as half-tribes, frequently referred to as half-tribes. It's the other half of Manasseh wasn't somewhere else. It was the half-tribe of Manasseh and the half-tribe of Ephraim. They were called half-tribes because otherwise there were 13 tribes.
No, Levi didn't count.
Right.
So there was only 12.
Yeah, but because they were...
If you can find a place where they're called half-tribes, I'd like to see that. Well, good. I've never read that.
What if you haven't read?
Yeah, well, probably not. But Manasseh, I know, is divided in half. And half, yes, Manasseh, the half the tribe of Manasseh is on one side, and half the tribe is on the other side of the river.
The tribe of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh.
Yes. Yes.
Half tribe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Half of the tribes on the east, half the tribes on the west.
No, they're not.
It is. You read the whole context. You'll never find Ephraim divided in half.
No, he's already a half-tribe.
Well, you can find it and you can show it to us.
When the tribe split, it split into two unique tribes, each with its own tribal symbol. These tribes, the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim,
yes,
were mentioned in Jacob's blessing in Genesis 48. The tribes were considered half-tribes because the two halves combined were the tribe of Joseph.
Well, that's a commentary. That's not the Bible.
Yeah, okay, I understand. But I've seen many times referred to not half of the tribe, but the half tribe. They're referred to as a half tribe.
Well, with Manasseh, there's no question about it that half of them are on both sides of this river.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can look on any Bible map and you'll see that too. Half of the tribe is on the east, half of the tribe is on the west. So maybe that means that they're a quarter and a quarter. I don't know. But they're definitely, Manasseh is definitely split.
Is that when it became a half tribe, or were they a half tribe before that?
Well, according to your wife, they were a half tribe before that. According to me, they're a full tribe. I've never heard that term before. So as far as I was concerned, Joseph was given two portions because of the special blessing of Jacob, and Levi was not counted because the Levites were the priesthood tribe. So
you're saying that three-thirds was a half tribe in Genesis.
Anyway, so her commentary obviously says this. I've never heard that before, so that's new to me. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's new to me. Okay. All right. So anyway, they choose all these guys, and they're helping. Then they're helping Joshua and Eleazar the priest to divide up the land. So they're the ones that are actually working together to cast these lots and to divide up the land as God would have them do that. All right, now, in our notes again, the fact that God chose these men is significant. He best knew their abilities and skills. He knew they were good leaders, but by God choosing them, there should be no debates. All right, so God specifically chose them, so they didn't have anything to argue over. And we must remember that God also knows the best for your life and mine. The best way to find peace and joy and fulfillment in life is to seek His will for our lives and to follow it faithfully. So it is significant here that, you know, at times like this when you read this, and God specifically said, I want these men to do it. And I believe you'd find the same thing when they chose the men to be the spies. God said, take this one, this one, this one, this one. And so God knew the people. God specifically called out for them and told them what He wanted them to do. And that's an encouragement, because it just shows us that God specifically knows us, and it knows our qualities and our capabilities. And, you know, even as we are praying for a man to train up as the pastor of the church here, I mean, God knows who. And I sure don't know, and He hasn't told me. But God knows, and He's got someone prepared. And so we just need to keep praying that God would fulfill His mind and will. Okay? Now, some of the principles for us today. This chapter is not just for information to fill our minds. The chapter we'll see, in the chapter we see the will of God revealed to His people. They did not have the Bible to open for direction. They had to wait for God's direction through Moses. We are privileged to each hold a copy of the Bible in our hands through which God wants to direct our lives. We are able to read and hear from God. Now, you are able to read and hear from God just as I can. God's Word can lead and guide you just as He can lead and guide me. And that's an important thing. It doesn't matter who we are. The Scriptures are there to guide us, and they're so full of truths. And whether it be the principles we find in the Old Testament stories, or the specific things we find in as duties in the book of Proverbs, or in the New Testament specific commands for believers, all of these things are key and important to us and can help and lead and guide our lives. And so we need to spend time in the Bible, and I think that is one of the areas where Christians as a whole are not very disciplined. It takes work to read the Bible and study it, no question about it, but it's important for us to do that. You know, the cults, many times, they put us to shame. They know what they believe. We may not agree with what they believe, but they know what they believe because they've spent time studying it and drilling it and teaching it and training it. And many times we can become somewhat lazy because it's not a priority to us. But did the people fully grasp the borders in their minds? I don't know. I don't really understand that. They could not see from an aerial view of it. You know, they probably didn't have maps of the area. You know, we talked about that another week. You know, did they have some maps? I don't know. If they did, there would have probably been basic maps or crude maps. Were the mountains high enough that they could actually see? They could see some, but I don't think, I mean, Sasha, you've been there. Are there any of the mountains high enough you can actually see the whole land?
Yes and no. When you go up to Mount Carmel, you can see a lot of the plain of Armageddon. We went up to some mountains near the Dead Sea, and some of them are actually really give you a pretty good vista. But I can't remember seeing back to Jerusalem from there, though. But yeah, it's a hard one. I'm not sure. I don't think it's anywhere.
But you'd have to be able to see recognizable landmarks.
Yeah.
You have to see cities or mountains or rivers.
Something to be able to point it out. You're right.
Just seeing endless desert stretching out, it's kind of neither here nor there, is it?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they probably didn't have those kind of things that that we would have access to today. And they were about to enter this fearful land and conquer it. I mean, it must have been a fearful thing, knowing that there's giants in the land. They've got fortified cities and trained military, and Israel didn't have any of that. And yet they had God on their side, and God promised to take care of them and bring them into the land. The promises of the Bible are for our encouragement and assurance as well. And the Lord is coming back, and true believers will spend eternity with Him. And, you think about the promises of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God, and just looking forward to the time when the Lord comes back, and knowing that God makes no mistakes in all of the things that He's got planned. He knows exactly the timing, and that we're living in interesting days. And this month, I don't know how much you've heard, but this month is a very unique month in the solar system. There's going to be a total eclipse on the 8th of April in America, and it's going to come from the top corner, go down toward toward Texas, and the rest of this country will see a partial eclipse. But it's three in the afternoon, so we won't see anything here. But a total eclipse, it hasn't happened for years. And then on the 4th, I think it is, there's four of the planets are going to line up in a row. It's the first time it's happened in a long, long, long time. And Rob McGill sent me a thing that had a whole bunch of these things. It's all going to happen this month. Phenomenal things. Things that there's a comet that's coming through that hasn't been seen in 71 years. And that's going to be coming through. And even now I think it's coming through, and you can see it at certain times. A big comet. I think it's called the Devil's Comet or something like that. But lots of different things coming through that are very interesting. And I'm not saying that it has anything to do with the Lord's coming back, but there are a lot of phenomenal things taking place in our world. So interesting stuff. So Ruth, did you find out any more about your divided kingdom, divided tribes? Okay, John Ray?
Why I always understood it is that Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, Joseph representing a tribe in himself, his two sons, or representing the tribe. They're oftentimes in Jewish tradition referred to as the house of Joseph, just for simplification.
Yes.
They're two tribes.
Yes.
They are referred to as the half tribe, but they represent the house of Joseph or half tribe of Manasseh, which is technically all considered one unit. It's confusing, but it's...
All right, let me just read in Genesis 49. Genesis 49, beginning with verse number 22. And Joseph, this is the blessing of Jacob. He's talking to his sons, and he got down to Joseph. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd of the stone, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above and the blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beast and breast and of the womb, blessings of thy father shall prevail, and blessings of the progenitors. All right, and he doesn't say anything about his boys there. Sorry, I thought that was the section. In 48.
Here in Numbers 34, it's the way it's written as well. It says half the tribe of Manasseh, and they're not saying the tribe collectively of Manasseh and Ephraim, because they still differentiate down into verse 24, the prince of Ephraim, 23, the prince of Manasseh. So they're still differentiated there. They haven't just
In the book of Numbers, there's no question that the tribe of Manasseh was divided in half. No question about that at all. It's crystal clear. But whether they were half tribes to begin with, that's what we're dealing with here.
They're also referred to as a half tribe in other places, I'm sure. I mean, it's not something I just thought of. I've always heard that the half tribe of Manasseh and the half tribe of Ephraim.
The Bible does on some occasions refer to the tribe of Joseph. I think Numbers 13:11, Revelation 35, Revelation 7:8, I think. But it's just confusing, which is a way of referring to Manasseh, which most scholars agree meant the two sons of Joseph. So it's just like people sometimes refer to the two half-tribes as the house of Joseph, even though it's not. Joseph isn't necessarily in the Bible represented as one of them.
All right, well, I guess what it can do is it can give us some homework. We'll dig into that and see what we can find.
Where it becomes confusing is just the word. It's sometimes a bit... Yeah.
Well, they obviously were both... They both came from Joseph. There's no question about that. We know that to be a fact.
But in that sense, technically the child of Joseph isn't like a comfort of Joseph.
Yeah, so... Do some research on it and see what we can come up with next week and share our findings.